Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part three of Pastor Michael's teaching in Acts 21:17 through 22:29, called Hear My Defense.
There may be some intellectual conversations we need to have, but the basics about God and the gospel are so simple, a little kid can understand it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now, we need to have an adult's head, but a child's heart. You understand? We need to be able to speak the language of the people. If you are talking to someone at the gym or in your neighborhood and you realize they know nothing about the Bible, don't take them to Revelation. Okay? Hey, you check this out about the Antichrist, man. Now, we'll get to that, right? But let's first talk about the gospel. Let's talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. And so Paul spoke their language, they hushed, and he said, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense. Hear my apologetic argument, which I now offer to you." Now, quickly, Paul's defense is his personal testimony. Sometimes we might share from creation. Sometimes we might share with somebody from conscience or the image of God written on our hearts. Sometimes we might share with someone about the emptiness of life without God, Ecclesiastes. Sometimes we might share the law of God to bring conviction of sin. But here there is a place, even in apologetics, for your personal testimony. After all, who can argue with my conversion experience? You might debate the facts, but I know Jesus Christ and I know what he's done for me. And you can take me to task for the elements of my story, but you ain't changing what he's done in my life. Amen? So Paul says, look, listen to me. Was there anybody more radically converted than this guy? Consider what I have to say. Please, listen. And so he says, when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew. Now, remember, he's talking, he's on the stairs talking down to the crowd. Born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel. Paul spent a lot of time in Jerusalem because he was trained under this great rabbi. Strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you are all today. Look, we might say it this way to somebody. I was brought up in this city. You guys know me. You've watched my life. You know what I was like before. You know where I was trained. You know where I went to school. You know what I'm about. You've watched me raise my kids in this town. Let me tell you about my experience. Look, I'm zealous for God. It's true. I was zealous just like you. But my zeal was really without knowledge, Paul might say. That's Romans 10. He says, I was so zealous. If you want to know about my past life, I persecuted this way. Jesus is the way. Christianity was called the way at this time. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons. If you want to know how passionate I was and zealous I was, I tried to destroy this movement. Don't think that I just was always on the side of Christ. Look, I took men and women. I put them in prisons. I tried to destroy this thing to the death. And also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify whether they're all the same that were there back when Paul started. I don't know. But he said, from them I also received letters to the brethren. If you saw some of the religious leaders standing there, they might be going, yeah, it's true. We gave him letters. This guy was our number one hitman. Wherever you want to send him, Paul, take care of the Christian movement over here. Okay. Off he went. He had letters from the chief priests. He said, I started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. And it came about, and now he's sharing his personal conversion, that as I was on my way approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. And I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Have you ever noticed that there's a lot of people when you try to share with them, you could talk about Buddha, Zoroaster, anything, but you mention the name of Jesus. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about him. And they'll push back from the table. You might want to confront them next time and say, why do you think that the name of Jesus makes you so upset? Have you ever thought about that? Why do you think you get so angry the moment his name comes up? Could it be that God's stirring something in you? Guy calls a radio program. It's a Christian Bible question and answer program. He calls up and he tells the host, I don't know how you believe this garbage. What about evolution? What about the suffering in the world? What about this? What about that? How can you believe this stuff? And the host patiently said, look, I was once like you. I was an atheist. I believe in evolution. But a witness for Christ shared the gospel. And Christ has changed my life. And he told his story. This guy's a very intellectual believer as well. And the guy said, oh, that's a bunch of hooey and this and that. And he said, well, one day you're going to meet the Lord. And this guy said, if I ever meet Jesus face to face, I'll spit in his face. How do you like that, Mr. Host? You know what the host of that program said? You wouldn't be the first to spit in his face. And that guy went on and he was jumping up and down. But think about it. He called a Christian radio program to yell at the host about why he didn't believe Christianity. Do you think God was stirring something in the man's heart? And it took a host under the control of the Holy Spirit to say, you know what? I understand you, but please hear my reasons. This is why I believe. And Jesus made it personal. Every time that a Christian is persecuted, Jesus says, you persecute me. I want to say this to anyone who listens to my voice as a skeptic, an atheist, or an agnostic. Every time you come against a Christian, you come against Christ. Every time you malign the faith of a Christian, every time you persecute somebody, whether here in the States or in a foreign land, you do it to Christ. And he takes it personally. That brings great comfort to me as a Christian, but should be a sobering reminder to those who mock the faith. And I answered, who are you, Lord? Good thing to know since this light is really bright. And he said to me, I am Jesus. Think of how Paul must have been shocked. The Nazarene whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me beheld the light to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And Paul will tell us in 1 Corinthians 15 that he saw the Lord. He saw Jesus. Apparently saw his face. And the light was so bright it blinded his eyes. Incredible. And so the men experienced the light, but the message really was for Paul. One man writing into a Christian organization says, maybe I should have known all along that the story about Jesus was true, but somehow I just didn't get it. The whole thing seemed to be mythological to me, a tale spun by humans to get other humans to live a more moral life. Helpful in an innocuous sort of way, but nothing to get excited about. Then in my late 30s, I bottomed out. Disappointed and wounded, I determined to find the answers to life or else kill myself. I began a spiritual search that took me from Scientology to Silva mind control. Nothing I tried satisfied. In Silva, I was introduced to spirit guides, and in Scientology, I was told to tap the power within myself. However, regardless of what I tried, the emptiness never went away until one day I was stopped on the street by a witness for Christ. I was invited to a Bible study, and I discovered the evidence for the historicity of the Bible. I remember thinking that night, going home and thinking, dear God, it's true. The Sunday school story is really true. I saw the truth intellectually before I ever saw it emotionally. And then he ends his letter with, the evidence is there for anyone who will hear. Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church? And so I said, logically, what shall I do? We didn't see this response in Acts 9 in the original story. And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that has been appointed for you to do. You've got a job to do. Salvation is only the beginning. But since I could not see because of the brightness or glory of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me. Now he was so humbled, and he came into Damascus. And a certain Ananias, a man who was devout, 12, by the standard of the law, and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me. And he was hesitant to come, if you recall the story. And standing near to me, he said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. It seems like the last face that Saul saw before he was blinded was Jesus. And the first face he saw when his eyes opened was Ananias. He said, and I looked up at him. Ananias' name, by the way, means God is gracious. And he said, the God of our fathers, he's speaking now to Saul, who becomes Paul. Paul's sharing his story with the crowd, still hushed in silence. The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one, to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. And Ananias said to him, now why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Look, baptism doesn't save you, but whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Some of you need to mark that verse. Why do you keep delaying? Why haven't you been baptized? Why haven't you publicly testified that Jesus Christ is God? Baptism doesn't save you, but it's a picture of the washing away of your sins. It's a picture of the gospel. Why hesitate a moment longer? Declare who you are. And Ananias told him, do it. Get up. Get in the game.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
We'd love to hear from you. If today's teaching on Walk in Truth encouraged you, challenged you, or raised a question, reach out and let us know. Send your comments, reactions, or questions to contact@walkintruth.com or give us a call at 844-48-TRUTH. Your story and feedback matter, and they help us continue equipping believers to apply God's truth to their daily walk. That's contact@walkintruth.com or 844-48-TRUTH. We look forward to hearing from you.
Your financial support helps keep Walk in Truth on the radio, and it also helps us reach people all over the world through the podcast. That means someone driving home from work, someone on a morning walk, or even someone on the other side of the globe can hear the hope of Jesus right when they need it most. And here's the cool part, every gift helps. Even a small step like becoming a monthly partner for just $5 a month makes a big impact. Think about it. For the price of less than one coffee, you could help keep Bible teaching going out day after day. So would you join us? Head over to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com and become a partner today. And thank you.
Did you miss part of today's message? You can always listen again on demand. Catch every teaching from Pastor Michael Lance on the Walk in Truth app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's an easy way to keep growing in God's Word and stay grounded in biblical truth throughout your week. Just search for Walk in Truth and start listening anytime.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
To hear an utterance from his mouth, for you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. And Ananias said to him, now why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Look, baptism doesn't save you, but whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Some of you need to mark that verse. Why do you keep delaying? Why haven't you been baptized? Why haven't you publicly testified that Jesus Christ is God? Baptism doesn't save you, but it's a picture of the washing away of your sins. It's a picture of the gospel. Why hesitate a moment longer? Declare who you are. And Ananias told him, do it. Get up. Get in the game. And it came about when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I fell into a trance. And I saw him, Jesus, saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves understand that in one synagogue after another, I used to imprison and beat, emphasis on beat, because Paul's probably bleeding right now, beat those who believed in thee. And when the blood of thy witness, Stephen, was being shed, imagine this heart-wrenching memory for Paul. I was also standing by and approving, watching out for the cloaks of those who were killing him. And he said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And they listened to him up until this statement, 22. And then they raised their voices and they said, away with such a fellow from the earth. He should not be allowed to live. And as they were crying out and throwing off their cloaks, probably in preparation to stone Paul, and tossing dust into the air, an expression of horror and outrage at blasphemy, or what they perceived to be blasphemy, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks, stating that he should be examined by scourging, ouch, so that he might find out the reason why they were shouting against him in this way. We're at the end. When they stretched them out with thongs, leather straps, they would make you tout before they hit you with the flagellum, which was the cat of nine tails, and it had in it pieces of bone and metal, and it would rip you open. And this is what they did to Jesus prior to his crucifixion. Probably so much so that his internal organs were showing. They tell us in history that people would die often of this particular treatment, or they would be permanently disabled. And they're about to strike Paul with this to get the reasons why this is all going on. And Paul was a wise man. He said, 25, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? I'm a Roman citizen. I think I'd be saying, I'm American. Stop. Good time to call upon the law. And when the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and told him, saying, what are you about to do? This man is a Roman or a Roman citizen. And the commander came to him and said, tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, yes. The commander answered, I acquired this citizenship with a large sum of money, maybe through a bribe. Paul said, no, I was actually born a citizen. Therefore, those who were about to examine him immediately let go of him. The commander also was afraid when he found out that he was a Roman, because he had put him in chains. That you couldn't beat a Roman or chain him without a trial. We get much of our law actually from Roman law. And Paul had not had a trial, so they backed off and God spared Paul. Because Paul wasn't going to die until God was done with him. God had more work ahead for Paul. Brother came up to me at the end of first service this morning and said, some years back, he had had a massive heart attack. Suddenly had this heart attack. He was brought into a hospital. His three buddies came in and prayed with him, and he had recovered. It wasn't fatal, obviously. And so he said, I want the Holy Spirit to be here in this hospital room. So his three buddies prayed for the room, and he had this Asian nurse, and he told me, Pastor Michael, she kept coming into the room and then leaving, and I didn't think much of it because she's a nurse after all. And finally, she stuck her hand to the room and said, I just have to ask you, is there something in this room? And he smiled and he said, well, what do you mean? What do you think is in this room? He said to the nurse, and she said, I think there's angels here. And for the next 45 minutes, he said he shared the gospel with that woman. I end with this. Think of Paul speaking to all of this mass of people, and you might be thinking, well, what happened? I mean, did anybody believe? Did they all just want to kill him? Did their hate for him get worse? I was in the gym one day with a friend of mine, and we began to share with a bodybuilder who was there. Nice enough guy, but he was definitely not a Christian. He said he had been a Christian, but there were so many hypocrites in the church, and he was now testing out Buddhism, and he liked some of the teachings of Christ, but he was testing out the New Age. He said he was living with his girlfriend. He worked as a manager of a very ungodly establishment. And he said, I'm doing what I want to do. I don't believe this Christianity stuff. I don't believe Jesus is the only way. And by the way, I don't believe in your politics. And we got into every subject. We went on for 45 minutes. This guy seemed like an impenetrable wall. He was like a deflector shield. Everything I said, well, I don't know. And he was a pretty articulate guy. So we walked away from that conversation. I thought, that guy's never going to be reached. He may say that he was a Christian, but he's so on the other side, he's gone. A couple months later, I walked back into that gym and that guy approaches me. He says, I need to tell you something. You know that conversation we had a couple months ago? And I said, oh yeah, I remember it. He said, I couldn't stop thinking about what you said about Christ and him being the only way. I've moved out. I'm no longer living with my girlfriend. I quit that job. And I want to give my life back to Jesus Christ. You never know what God will do. Sometimes we walk away from a conversation. We think, that didn't penetrate a bit. But you know what? The gospel is the power of God for salvation. You keep Jesus at the middle of your life and message, he'll do the work. Father, thank you so much for the dedication of the Apostle Paul. We read texts like this, Lord, we feel so unworthy. We feel like we don't even come close to this sort of passion and perseverance. And yet, you do want to use each one of us to be change agents in our world and to be sharing the gospel with folks. The hope that we have that's within us, a hope reserved for us in heaven that will not fade away. because we are kept by the power of God. Stir this congregation to love and good deeds, Father. Help me, help us to be busy about your business, not to be obnoxious, but just to look for opportunities to share the good news, the hope that we have, Lord. I believe if we all got a little bit more serious about that, our city would change. Maybe our state would change, and our world would change. Thank you for those who are sharing faithfully and wanting to step out more. Thank you for the way you're allowing this congregation to meet people on radio and through missions. So many special things going on. I just ask that you'll fill us afresh with your Spirit and help us to walk in your footsteps. If you're not a Christian here this morning, you need to come to know Christ. You're here for a reason. Maybe you've been running. Maybe you have pushed Christ away because of difficulties and questions that you've had, but he's at the door, knocking, saying, "Let me in. I want to fellowship with you. I want to give you abundant life. Don't close me out. Don't shut the doors." If it's you, there's no perfect prayer, but it's something like this. And I would just encourage you, pray it right now. Lord Jesus, pray it out loud. Come into my life. Thank you that you died on the cross for me and rose to defeat death itself. I repent of my sin and trust in you. You might be a person here who's been away for a while and you want to come back home. And he invites you back just as you are. Just come. You might be a prodigal and maybe you've been running and you found yourself in the pit of mud and your father is waiting to hug you and celebrate your arrival. Lord, help that prodigal who's struggling with whether they would be accepted again, that you love them and you want them home. And then, Lord, I want to lift up the church just one more time. Strengthen our brothers and sisters who are suffering around the globe. Strengthen those that we mentioned earlier in this sermon who are facing life and death situations for you. Help them to be strong and persevere. And help us as a church here in Southern California to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
You've been listening to Hear My Defense, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in Acts 21:17 through 22:29. If you need prayer or encouragement, call us at 844-48-TRUTH. That's 844-48-TRUTH. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, a final thought as we think about Paul's testimony in Jerusalem to his people and that passionate plea that he made, even though he had been beaten up, he still said, "I want to talk to the people. You see, I know where they're coming from. I was just like them." Let's pause here for a moment and think about what makes our testimony effective. It's to say to somebody, especially if you have, you know, maybe you weren't raised in the church, or maybe if you fell away, "You know what? I understand." Paul could say, "I understand even your zeal and perhaps even hatred for what you don't understand. That was me. I tried to stamp out this movement. I couldn't stand it. I did everything in my power to stop it. And yet Christ laid hold of me." You know, when you're sharing with someone, you can say to them, "Look, I've been where you are. I understand what it means." For some of you, you might say, to be an atheist or to be in total rebellion to God. And you can share your transformation story. That's really what Paul's doing here. And as you do it, it will have a power in itself, because it will point people to the power of Christ, the power of the gospel. Don't be afraid to share where you've come from so that people can have hope and know that they can get there too. This is Pastor Michael Lance. This is Walk in Truth. Hey, one of the ways you can walk with us is partnering with this ministry. We're looking for monthly partners, anything from five to whatever you want to do per month, whatever you can set aside. If you believe in this ministry, you like what you hear, you like the Bible teaching and how we're trying to apply it to everyday life, we could use you to stand with us. We have some open doors right now with more prominent primetime times on certain stations and stations that want to bring us on. But we need you to partner with us. It's walkintruth.com. You can click on the donate tab. Do it today. If you've been praying about it, thinking about it, do it today. We could use the help and the encouragement of more partners. It's walkintruth.com. Click on that donate tab today, and we'll see you right here tomorrow.
Remember, Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow as Pastor Michael continues his teaching in Acts.
I will tell you, just to let you know, a lot of this is going to be preamble. And that means we're going to build the idea of what a trial is and how we can move through trials. And then we'll get to our main text, which is going to be fairly short today. But the message is Paul's trials.
I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.